Hello, this is Kay Ballard, and I want to welcome you to Women Are Not Funny Radio. Today, it's highly likely that we're going to disprove our premise, because our guest is the hilarious Christy Samus, who blogs at She Just Walks Around With It and Promtacular.com. Well, today, on her blog, she apologized in advance for what she would say today. So no telling what we're going to hear from her, and I can't wait, but you know better than that, I can wait, because first, I just have to talk, you know, with no interruption, my favorite thing to do. Item number one, voiceover intro for season two. Okay, you're tired of hearing about it. As you may recall, we had a script. A well-written script, a script I wrote and one that was improved by a communications and marketing professional. But then I hired that darn comedy coach, and he told me that in the intro, I must tell listeners why they are listening. Now, this is proving to be a very difficult task. I know that you don't have a reason for listening. And I just hate in the intro to remind you of that, to remind you of your unreasonable behavior. I mean, as far as unreasonable behavior, listening to this radio show for no reason probably is tolerable, but I just don't want to remind you of the harsh facts. I love the listeners, and if you want to listen for no reason, who am I to discourage it? Item number two. This is the portion of the show where I bash Ann Curry, and the reason, and it's a well-established reason, the reason that I hash her is I hate her interview style, and mine is every bit as annoying. You see, neither of us listen to our guests, and those of us drone on, and each of us pre-answers the questions in our interviews before we ask them. But when I'm every bit as annoying as Ann Curry, why is it that she gets all the credit? I really don't understand, and I was thinking about writing a book about it. But, you know, I'd have to call it the Ann Curry, the annoying Ann Curry interview style. And once again, she just gets the credit. So, item number three, last week's guest. As you may or may not know, the executive producers of Women Are Not Funny Radio, I being one of them, hired a comedy coach to help me be funny. And he essentially said that it was an impossible task. And given that I was remarkably unfunny, there was very little that he could do. But despite that, he gave me a few tips, like the one I just mentioned about, you know, in the intro, tell people why they are listening. But he also said that this really was amazing to me. I had never considered it. He said that everything I say should have a point. I mean, really? Does that seem fair? Does everything have to have a point? Well, according to him, it does. And he also said, never talk about last week's show. He said that you just don't care about last week's show. You were either here or you weren't. But either way, you don't care because that was last week and this is this week. He explained it to me very, you know, very thoroughly. I do understand, but so here is my point. The reason I'm talking about last week's show and the reason I'm telling you this, it does have a point, and the point is to annoy him. Of course, it is highly unlikely that he will listen to this episode of Women Are Not Funny unless he believes he can invoice me for the time. Okay. And that noise you just heard shows that I you know, in my haste to get on the phone, I forgot to turn off call waiting. And, you know, that annoying bell that we have, we're going to have that from time to time, because I actually called someone and left a message. I'm waiting for an important call. So I apologize for that. And I'm sure, you know, this is one more thing that's bad radio. So, well, that's good. It'll give my, you know, it'll give my helpers something to help me with. Okay. Item number 4. Today, I'm not going to talk about the Accomplish Something Initiative, even though people are waiting to hear how we're doing. I'm also not going to talk about the Awesome Pretties. I will talk about the Win a Date with Hugh Jackman contest. But I'll talk about that at the end of the show. And part of my reason for that is I want today's guest to help me with that a little bit. You know, I'm trying to come up with the rules, and it just strikes me that she is, you know, rather broad-minded and has might have some ideas and some good input for that. One of the things that I did in promoting today's show, in the audio postcard that went out to all the Awesome Pretties, you know, those fans of the Women Are Not Radio, Women Are Not Funny Radio that I'm not going to be talking about today, I sent them an audio postcard about today's show, and I talked about the fact that today's guest, Christy Samus, is young. I made kind of a point of it. And I want to explain that. You know, I don't really like to talk about my age, but I do reveal my age from time to time. And the reason I do that, the reason I'm comfortable doing that, is that I'm a woman, and women are permitted to lie about their age. So given that I have the not only the ability, but the permission, the right, and the encouragement to lie about my age, I'm very comfortable talking about it. And one thing that I do know that our guest today doesn't know is that there's a period of time in your life when people find out your age and they go, oh, my, you're so young. Or they look at you and they say, oh, my, you're so young. And, you know, at the time, it might be a little bit annoying, but what is more annoying is the deafening sound when they no longer say that. So I hope that it's years, years before she hears that sound, because I do care about her, even though I barely know her. Now, one thing she's not prepared for, I'm certain of that. She doesn't know that I always bring a guest on the show by putting them on the spot. But I have to find out. I learned the hard way. I have to find out if my guests are here because they just happen to be here, or if they are using their appearance on Women Are Not Funny Radio as a stepping stone. So, Christy Samus, is your appearance on Women Not Are Not Funny Radio, are you using it as a stepping stone for something better?
Well, I didn't realize that there was a win a date with Hugh Jackman on the line. So if I can use it to parlay that into a date with Hugh Jackman, I would, I'll say that this was a success for sure.
Well, you know what? I have to question that, and I will. I will. But here's something else that I know, you know, I'm concerned about. I did mention that I'm one of the executive producers of the show, but I'm not the only one. And my co-executive producer from time to time tells me that I talk too much and, you know, is similarly critical of me. So I always have to be concerned that a guest may be here, you know, really considering it an audition, a tryout to take over this radio show. Is that what you're doing?
I was not. I have no plans to take over this radio show. None at all.
And you're trustworthy?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, one thing that everyone will be thrilled to hear is that you are the mother of a darling baby girl.
Oh, well, thank you.
And her name is?
Her name is Eve.
It
Eve
certainly
Elizabeth
is.
Elizabeth Boston, yes.
That is a beautiful name. And the reason I bring her up, Christy, right at the beginning of the show, is I thought it would be a good idea for us to get this mommy crap out of the way.
Sounds good to me.
Because I tell people that you are a blogger, and you have this wonderful blog called She just
walks
around with it. And it is about Eve, your baby daughter, but it's about the rest of your life, too. And your life is very amusing to me, certainly. And but Eve is adorable, and she's not yet 1 year old.
She's not, no. She is 8 months old at the moment.
8 months old.
8 months,
Christy,
yeah.
Have you told Eve that she can lie about her age?
I have not yet.
Okay. Well, you do understand that as her mother, it is your job to tell her stuff.
Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure, because I think, you know, I think she needs to know that women, you know, even she's a young woman. By anyone's definition,
yes.
She is a very young woman, isn't she?
She is. Although I suspect for the next 20 and a half years or so, she'll be trying to lie upwards. And, you know, that has a whole different set of circumstances than trying to suggest that she's younger than she is. So.
Yeah, it's really weird. It's really weird. But I think that's part of the education. You just explain to her she's a woman. She can lie about her age. Okay.
Right.
So
I just don't want to have to bail her out of jail.
She can go in either direction.
Sure.
But given that she's 8 months old, you know, I suppose you're already planning a birthday ritual for her.
Oh, no, I had not actually thought about that very much. She has the unfortunate or fortunate, depending on how you look at it. But, it happened that she was born 4 days after my birthday. So got to get my celebration out of the way first.
Mm-hmm. Well, I understand that, certainly. I mean, there are those who consider me self-absorbed, and so I know about feelings like that of, you know, your own birthday being paramount in importance. But here's a little way that I'm going to help you out, darling, is by explaining this to you early on, you know, because clearly you don't understand it. For a period of time, your greatest glory is going to be how you score in that competition birthday parties for your child.
Right.
You know? And so I think there are other mothers of eight-month-old babies who don't even understand this, the opportunity that that sort of competition can hold for, you know, for mothers. And so I would suggest you just get busy. You have 4 months. Hire a party planner and come up with a party for Eve that's going to just crush the other mothers in Napa.
That is a good plan. And I should start.
You know,
I should
get on it. See, don't you think I'm helpful, Christy?
You are.
You notice?
You are. I had not even considered what we would do and how we would embarrass other mothers for Eve's first birthday. So that's going on the to-do list right now.
Right, exactly. And I'm telling you, with a four-month head start, you can do a good job of embarrassing those other mothers, you know.
Good.
And it's
yeah.
important. Okay. The other thing is, I just have to mention it, I hope you have her on a good skincare regimen.
That's another good point you bring up. I haven't, you know, right now it's pretty much, you know, ointments and powders. We haven't discussed the importance of moisturizers yet as such, but that is another good point you're bringing up.
Okay. Well, I am useful. Now, you did on your blog today, when you were telling about your appearance on the show, you apologized in advance for what you were going to say.
Right, not because I had something planned that I was going to say, but because I have a tendency to to stammer, number one, as we've already heard several times, but also to kind of go off on tangents and talk about whatever comes into my head. That's why, generally speaking, I'm a better writer than speaker. Anybody who knows me in my personal life, especially those who've known me a long time, kind of dare me to tell stories because they start, who knows, they start way, way back. I feel like I need to give all kinds of context, and then I'll just go and go and go and forget where I was headed and by the end of the story, I've talked about four or five different things. I haven't really gotten to the point and can't really remember why I started. So fairly similar to how I just answered that question.
Oh my God. See, you show such great potential for taking over the show. You're so much, you know, you've been studying me, I think. You're copying me is what you're doing. But let me tell you why I was concerned when I read that. It wasn't my concern that you'd take over the show or that you had anything planned. It's just that Women Are Not Funny Radio, we try to be mother-friendly. You know, we try to have a show where our mothers could listen to it without causing us any faux embarrassment. So, you know, I was concerned about that. And we did have a couple of shows ago, which I'm not supposed to talk about because that was then, this is now, but we did have a guest who uttered a profanity. And then I had to offer a disclaimer to my mother. And apparently that disclaimer caused someone to crack a smile. So, you know, there is opportunity there. I'm not blind to the opportunity, but I think we have to be careful. And here's why we particularly have to be careful today. It's the name of your blog. She walks around with it. You know, my father, and we're talking about making this mother-friendly, but I also have a father. And you're not going to believe this, Christy, but my father strongly objects to women saying the word but.
All right.
That's a pretty harmless way to refer to it, in my opinion, but he thinks that is just an obnoxious thing for women to say.
Well, so I suspect
for
your
years,
father's not a big fan of my blog, then, really.
Well, I don't think he's been exposed to it yet. But, you see, for years I have just in order to and it's not that I'm constantly talking about mine or anyone else's, but if I have the reason to refer to a but, for him, because I love him, I call it things like Heine Bow, you know. And
I always have trouble spelling the word Heine. I always get confused as to whether it needs an E or whether it's just H-I-N, so I avoid that word most of the time.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's good, but see, the word that you use, he and I haven't even discussed how I feel, but you use a word that starts with an A.
I do often, yes.
And so, I mean, how do you think he would feel about that?
Well, you know, having never met your father, I would guess that he's generally not the target demographic, you know, the typical person that's reading She Just Walks Around With It. But, you know, but I don't know. My analytics don't go that far. They don't tell me the gender or age of my readers. I'm just going to have to guess that they're primarily female and they talk about their rear ends. There, I know how to spell that one. I can say that one. You know, or at least appreciate that I speak of mine so regularly.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing about it is, I think you've pretty much addressed that. It's really none of his business how you refer to it, is it?
Well, I think when it comes to blogging in general, you know, where the beauty of blogs is that we as bloggers write whatever we want, and our audience kind of finds us. So, you know, anyone who would be offended by the fact that basically the whole premise of my blog is based on the size of my what's another cute word for it? My patootie. will appeal to some and probably not to others. And probably if your father landed there, he would wonder where on the internet he was and how he got there and how to get away as fast as possible.
Yeah, you've met him, I see. Well, the thing about it is, I think what you call your NC patootie, that's just weird. What you call it is, you know, fine, and it's fine by me, but I'm just in the name of keeping this radio show mother-friendly, and in this case father-friendly, I'm just not going to call it your ass.
Oh. That's wise. That's wise.
Yeah, I just believe that. But anyway, it's a great blog, and it is it's very funny, and it is a personal blog, but it is also a humor blog, as you say. But one thing about it is, I happen to know, I don't know if you want me to reveal it. Listeners, I'm about to reveal something she may not want revealed. Christy is married to someone funny as well. I mean, her family is kind of a comedy industry, I would say.
Oh,
her
yes.
Her husband is a stand-up comic or a former stand-up comic, and that would be my question to you. Is there such a thing as a former stand-up comic? Is it once you're a stand-up comic, you're always a stand-up comic?
Yes. Yes, at least in my experience. And my experience is living with him every day, where, while he was actively doing comedy, every day there's a conversation that goes something like, is that funny? Is this funny? What about this? Is this funny? And that could be me asking the question or Peter asking the question. And that hasn't stopped. He hasn't done stand-up in a while, mostly related to the baby schedule. But that hasn't stopped him from thinking about routines or thinking about what might be funny or thinking about what would make what would make for his lively comeback as a dad. So again, we do spend much of our conversation asking each other if we're being funny.
That sounds like fun. I think that sounds like a great deal of fun.
It is fun. It is fun. Although, unfortunately, most times the answer is no. No, that is don't say that.
Yeah.
Funny.
Well, we've all been married. So who is funnier? Who is funnier?
Oh, that's a good – well, you know, I feel very confident that I can say he is funnier speaking. He is a funnier speaker. He's a funnier comedian. He's a funnier – he's better at delivering funny lines. He's got impeccable timing. The stuff that he writes is very good for spoken comedy. I think that I'm funnier to read. I think that my funny stuff is intended to be funny when read as opposed to when spoken. And
well,
I didn't know that there was a big difference until I met him. And so.
Well, that's, it's all very interesting to me. I will tell you that when I read your stuff, I read it, one of the reasons it's very, very good and very accessible and engaging is that it sounds spoken. You know, when I read it, I can hear the person talking. I can hear you talking. And so I think a lot of it would actually translate well into stand-up. Not that that is the only venue for humor. It's like you said, the breakfast table, apparently, at your house is that as well. But I also thought your answer about who is funnier was an excellent answer. And people listening, and once again, I'm talking about an old show, but people who are listening know my story about one time a guy broke up with me because he said that I was funnier than he was, and he couldn't handle that. And I just thought that was a brilliant way to break up with somebody, you know, because...
I agree.
Argue. You know, the man was brilliant, and... except in his choice of women, but...
clearly. And I think you can walk away from any relationship saying, yes, I would rather be funny than be with you. So you win on that. You win on that front, for sure.
Yeah, well, that's true. And actually, it was a win, and his name is Bill. Hi, Bill. Okay, so, but that was years ago, you know, at least three. Or 20. Or, you know, I who knows, you know, I just...
Three,
will have to
20,
sit in.
Who is? I thought we don't talk about past shows anymore. Probably relationships go the same way, unless it has a purpose.
Well, that's true. That is true. And, what do you think about the fact that I hired a comedy coach? How do you feel about that?
I think that, well, I think I would have felt very differently about that before I personally attended comedy college, and learned, you know, who's out there in the comedy coaching world, and the fact that there are some real good principles to be taught and to be learned. And I think that much like any other kind of coach, it's, you know, you're only going to learn as much. It entirely depends on how qualified and how talented the coach is.
Do you think so? I mean, I think it also depends on how talented and qualified the person being coached is. Because, see, is what happened. When he told me I was remarkably unfunny, you know what I did? You would think it would be incentive, you know, to really work at it and show him. But I just pouted, you know. And that, I mean, how do you feel about the pouting technique to learn comedy?
As far as learning comedy, I'm not sure. As far as getting your way, that's worked pretty well for me. So I think pouting as a response is entirely valid, and I would never take that out of my repertoire. As far as improving one's comedic skills, maybe pouting not the only way to go, but mm-hmm. But it's totally understandable. Comedy college. I don't know how many there are in the world. There is one. There's the San Francisco Comedy College. Pete was a student and told me about it, and it's for the most part, it's a matter of kind of workshopping your stand-up. So you try it out, you try out new routines, you try out jokes, and you get feedback from the others in the class about what they thought worked and what they thought didn't and what you could build on. And so sometimes it was brainstorming, and sometimes it was getting feedback. Well, a lot of times it was getting feedback. Sometimes it was getting good feedback. Sometimes the feedback wasn't as useful. And so it was really, most of all, a way to practice, without having to practice in front of a live audience who will eat you alive. But then there's the intro class too, which is more about what the structure of a joke is and the fact that jokes do have structure and that there's different types of jokes. And it's a little bit, you know, kind of an intro to joke telling, an intro to joke writing, an intro to improv, and kind of work and basics as far as stage presence and that sort of thing goes. So it's interesting.
You are telling me that you have been to comedy college?
Yes. Yes.
Christy, why are you telling me now? Don't you think I could have used that in promoting the show? I could have said, you know, today on Women Are Not Funny Radio, comedy college graduate Christy Samus.
Well,
live.
It didn't occur to me because I didn't really do anything with my degree, much like my English degree. Mm-hmm. I didn't really do much with it. I attempted a few stand-up shows and decided that I would leave that to Peter and I would mm-hmm. stick with the writing.
But see, you are using it now because once again, I asked you point blank, are you trying, is this a tryout to take over my show? And here you are touting your credentials. I hate to be suspicious. I hate to be suspicious, but I have no choice. You leave me with no choice, you know. I mean, why else would you be telling? Now, here's my question for you, though. I'll try to forgive you. I'm going to forgive you for the moment.
I appreciate that.
For not telling me and also for trying to take my show away. Should I just get on a plane this afternoon and go to San Francisco and enroll in comedy college? Would you recommend that?
I would not recommend that. I would not recommend that. As fun as it is, and it is fun, I feel like you really have your act together. Maybe you're looking for specific tips related to your show, but I think you're ahead of the game compared to some of the others who are just starting out at comedy college. That
See,
is my...
now, that was lovely of you to say until you added that qualifier. See, if you just stopped,
sorry.
You know,
see, this
like...
See, that's what I was talking about. I'll just keep going, and then all of a sudden I'm in a hole.
Yeah. Well, you have
no,
a lot
no
of
delete.
Problems. You have a lot of problems. I, you know, and the way I know this is because you're very upfront about the fact that you have problems.
Oh, I
and,
have a lot of problems.
Yeah, you do. You have a lot. Mm. And I think you're delightful nonetheless. But and that's really, you know what, Christy, that's why I want to help you out. Because I find you delightful and I'm able to do it. And here's one way. I mean, I can't help you with all your problems. You do understand
well, no.
that, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I don't think any one person could, really.
No. That would be too much, you know. And I am
much.
Very able. I'm very capable. And I am a good person who wants to help. But there's a limit to, you know, how much time I can give you. But since this is Women Are Not Funny Radio, and even though I'm not talking about it today, we are in the middle of an Accomplish Something initiative where we try to do stuff, say stuff, and make things happen. So what I'd like to help you with today, you know, since we are here and we do have the time to do it, is as I understand it, and, you know, you're doing quite well, frankly, I'm really shocked, but you ordinarily, not today, obviously, but ordinarily you have a problem talking with celebrities.
I'm not very good at it. It's true. I would say my biggest problem is that I start speaking to them as though they know who I am, and they don't. And, you see, so while I am intimidated by your celebrity, at least I know that you know who I am, and you know why you're speaking to me. And whereas, for instance, the other evening I was at an event where there were celebrity chefs, and I approached them as though my watching them on Top Chef meant that they had also been watching me, and we had been good friends. And so I strike up very familiar conversations, and they think I'm crazy. No.
Let me tell you something. I know all about that. I read all about it on your blog, and I highly recommend that people read that article because I think what we're going to do is treat it kind of like a before and after situation.
All right.
I can help you with this. You know, that was the before, and then, I mean, they're gone. There's no more pork and pinot, or is it pinot and pork? Not till next year, or, you know.
Right, that's correct.
But, you know, you could kind of relive it, recast it, and I'll tell you how to do it. Because I want you, you know, I have some good news for you, Christy. I can help you, and you're already on your way to solving this problem. And by that I mean today's blog post, which you called kind of a big deal. I'm kind of a big deal.
Right,
I mean
right.
that I want to encourage that. Think of, you know. Continue in that vein. I'm kind of a big deal. I'm kind of a big deal. So let's say that tonight, which is also a Friday night, you were going to the same event.
Mm-hmm.
Tyler Florence is there.
Mm-hmm.
And you walk up to him and you start out with that sentence. I'm kind, you know, extend your hand and say, I'm kind of a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And then say your name. Hi, I'm Christy Samus. If you need to say it again, say, I'm kind of a big deal. And he will notice when you say that. You know, he will notice.
Yeah,
he won't.
This is a technique I had never considered.
It will get his attention.
It will.
And he will look at you, and he will look at you quizzically. Right?
Well,
and he might say something like, really? Are you? Or, you know, he'll respond in some way, trust me. And then you go back and you write your blog, and you can say something like, when I was telling Tyler Florence that I was, or when Tyler Florence and I were discussing the fact that I am kind of a big deal, you see?
Yes.
And then...
It's a blog post that practically writes itself.
it really does. It really does. And then you can go on that way. Because, you know, I kind of want to tell you one of my stories. You know, being a celebrity like I am and being kind of a big deal, I run into celebrities and have no problem with it, you know, because I am kind of a big deal. But there was one occasion when I did become tongue-tied when I met a celebrity, and I want to tell you this, and I would say, you know, my comedy coach said every story, everything you say has to have a point. This does actually have a point, you know. I mean, part of it is name-dropping. Part of it is to really make me look good. It's self-aggrandizement is much of its point. And then it also has the point, you know, it has just a lot of points, really. And this was, I do keynote speaking to events, typically large events that organizations have for their women donors. So this was one in Princeton, New Jersey that was sponsored by Rutgers, actually. Now, Christy, did you notice how I dropped the names of these two very solid institutions, you know,
yes,
telling everyone that they were my clients and said they would be impressed anyway? I was the luncheon speaker for this event, and Olympia Dukakis was the opening speaker for the event. So when they brought me over, the event organizers took me over to meet Olympia Dukakis. I, you know, was no big deal. Yes, she was an Oscar award-winning actress and someone quite famous, but that was no big deal because I was, in fact, Kay Ballard. But she said to me when we met, she said, "Oh, my goodness, I've been reading about you." Now, all she meant, of course, was in the brochure for the event. But when she said that, you know, it just wasn't what I was expecting. You know,
right
now she said, "Oh my God, I'm so glad to meet you. I thought this day would never come." That probably wouldn't have surprised me, but to learn that Olympia Dukakis had been reading about me, you know, I just didn't know what to say. So I just went blah 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 blah, which, you know, is really, I don't like doing that. I don't like doing
right.
That. And so I was
get more comfortable with it. I learned actually. That's just a little tip from me to you is once you've gone in front of, like, pretty much every celebrity you've met, you get a little used to it.
Yeah. I don't ever want to get used to it.
No.
I mean, for me, that was humiliating. And I what is really funny, Christy,
is... Oh, it's always humiliating, but, yeah.
She and I were wearing exactly the same outfit. And that was nothing to me. I mean, that, you know, that is always touted as the kind of like the major humiliation. But we each, you know, we were there to speak at an event. We wore the typical women's speaking outfit, and, you know, which is stretchy black pants, a stretchy black tunic shell, and a stretchy black jacket. You know, this is what we wear. And she had it on. I had it on. They were identical, I swear to you. But that was not embarrassing to me. What was embarrassing to me is I was tongue-tied. And so, you know, I do understand that it can happen. But I think if you just come out, you know, like I said, kind of on the offensive and let the person know that you are a very big deal, that is the thing to do. And you have, I think you have a growing sense of your own big dealness, don't you?
Well, I you know, the prompt, as I did post about how the Promtacular website was mentioned in the esteemed Napa Valley Register, and it got billing above the potluck story.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's
darling, darling, no, darling. Your story, your blog was not mentioned. Your blog was featured.
You got featured.
A headline. You got most of the page. See, you're just, if you're going to be a big deal, you have to wear it, Christy. You have to wear it, hon. Okay. So let's try that again. So I think recently you got some press for one of your blogs.
Well, I did. My blog, Promtacular, was featured in the esteemed Napa Valley Register, above the potluck story.
Mm-hmm.
So that's,
see,
I mean,
you just you're going for the funny. You're going for the funny. You can't help yourself. So you
I
used
can't help
esteemed.
It.
You used esteemed in an ironic way, and then you had to bring up the potluck story again. All right, let's go again and see if we can do it. Sell it, Christy. Sell it, Christy. You're kind of a big deal. So I'll set you up. I'm going to set you up.
All right, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Christy, you're kind of a big deal. You've been getting a lot of press lately.
Well, just the other day, the Napa Valley Register featured my blog, Promptacular, on the front page. It was the weekend special edition.
Oh, wow, that is fabulous. I bet you've had a lot of attention for that blog because it's great, isn't it?
It is. It is great. And, you know, it's hard for me to track exactly how much traffic came from the print edition, but I'm certain that it had a very meaningful impact on the site.
Okay. Well, here is you did great, by the way. That is great.
Thank you. You really are a big deal.
You're a big deal. You're already a big deal. You're a big deal waiting to happen. You have a future in being a big deal. That's just my very modest and accurate point of view. I can see it, Christy. I can see it. Your next celebrity meeting is going to go off swell. I just know
it. Thank you. I appreciate having the opportunity to work on it, too.
Of course you do. So what I want to know, though, is with Promptacular, what you are trying to accomplish. Obviously, you want to be the world's foremost prom blogger, but do you also want to, at the same time, simultaneously eliminate all proms? I mean, are you trying to...
No, I just thought that there's many other funny websites that are similar that have photos of folks, like Awkward Family Photos is probably the best known. but I think that there's a special, I think prom is unique because I think, you know, it features teenagers, and I think teenage fashion is always deserving of attention and description and really to be celebrated, especially teen fashions from decades past. And I think prom is also unique in that, unlike, for instance, I'm potentially working on a bridesmaid site as well, but I think that what's special about prom is that the people in the photos chose to look the way they look. Nobody else forced them into this. This was something they embraced and selected and were very excited about at the time. And that's what makes it especially funny and especially fun to kind of, you know, it's not really about making fun of what people were wearing. It's really just kind of about how incredible it was that at some point we thought that this was a good idea.
Well, it is a fascinating blog. Now, at some point, if I keep offering you help like I'm inclined to do, you're going to think I'm bossy, aren't you?
Well, that's okay. I respond well to this kind of direction.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, how could you not? Because, I mean, so far I've really helped you out a good bit. But have you considered this? And perhaps you're doing this already and I've just overlooked it, but are you going to keep, you've heard the expression prom baby?
I have.
Are you going to consider keeping a count or have some sort of tally whether or not, you know, at the end of the evening on that particular prom, a baby was conceived?
I have not been keeping tally. That is not, you know, there's a form people can use to submit their photos to the site, and none of the questions right now ask if any children were conceived that evening. But you have made a great suggestion. I should add that.
I think it's important. Maybe it's just me, for the historical record, you know.
I think that is a good point. I have received several entries from folks who have indicated that they did not get lucky that evening. Mm-hmm. either because of awkwardness with their date or because of what they were wearing. But folks have definitely gone out of their way to make sure I was aware that nothing happened.
So. I see. So people, yeah. So I mean, obviously there is reason to add that to the form because it apparently is something that people want. You know, people want to talk about. So
right.
I just offered up. You know, just as an idea, obviously. But I think it is a great blog with a great future. And you pointed out to me that you have been blogging for quite some time. That you started blogging in 2005.
Yep. I did, and at the time I started blogging. I didn't really know of many personal blogs at all. The only blogs I read at the time actually were political blogs, and I thought that personal blogs really had to have one particular point and one particular focus. So I started blogging as a way to keep me accountable for a weight loss. And after a few months, actually not very many months at all, maybe two, I started reading more personal blogs and seeing what else was out there and what people were writing about and what people were reading and how funny people were being. And I didn't realize that, again, I had kind of modeled mine after the way political people had been writing their blogs, and I didn't realize I didn't have to necessarily inform. I could just write about my life. And I'm not saying that's why the weight loss wasn't successful, but it was but you know, I kind of thought that writing about it would make me accountable, and what ended up happening was I just fell in love with the medium and really enjoyed being able to write the way I'd always written for myself. I've kept a journal my whole life, so blogging just was a natural fit. And once I realized I didn't have to write each entry like an article, that I could actually just write like a diary entry, things changed. And, I've been doing it ever since.
Well, one of the things that I think is very interesting is not only did you start blogging in 2005, but you for a while were an employee of Blog Her, and
yes.
You did their event planning, among other
yep.
things. And something I want to tell you is that years ago I blogged in a big way in that I had several blogs. But
mm-hmm.
I was weird about it. I didn't want an audience, and which was just as well. But, you know, I had this idea, I'm trying to find my voice. But I became aware of Blog Her at that time because it was at the time of their very first conference. And
mm-hmm.
I actually considered going, and I tried to talk my daughter into meeting me, and we'd go out there. It was on the West Coast somewhere, I think. Probably Southern California, as I recall. And it was a very, I mean, I don't want to offend the three fabulous women who started it, but it was very kind of amateurish, their first conference, as you would expect, and they didn't even know each other when they got together and decided to hold the conference. But that organization has just been amazing in terms of
yeah.
how it's grown and what they accomplished. And Christy, I have a comedy CD which we just released, and I'm going to be mailing you one as one of your parting gifts for being on Women Are Not Ready. And it's a comedy CD about my divorce called KK's Divorce, and with any luck, it's the only divorce you'll ever have. And it's struggling to find an audience. And so I contacted the sales department of Blog Her to see, you know, what they might have that I might could do. They are so big time that they will talk to people who want a package that starts at $25,000 a month, you know. And so I don't want to reveal too much here, but that just is a tiny bit above our budget, our marketing budget,
right,
for my
right.
$7.95 comedy CD. But I can't help but be amazed and also very proud of the success that organization has achieved in a very short period of time. They are a major media phenomenon, and you must be really proud of your association. And you continue to be associated as, are you a network blogger? Is that how you'd be referred to? Or what, do you have a blogger logo
their,
on you?
Yeah, I'm in their publishing network. So their very first event I had not heard of, and that was in the summer of 2005. And then their next event, which they were then saying was an annual affair, was in the summer of 2006, and I attended that. So I had been blogging for about 6 months at the time, and for a year and a half at the time. And I had found, you know, my own pool of people who were reading and people whose blogs I read. Again, now I had kind of branched out into reading other life bloggers. And I attended just one day of the conference because it was local. I mean, it was in San Jose. And I was blown away. I had no idea. I had no idea so many women were out there blogging, and I had no idea they were so passionate about it. I mean, I was, but I didn't know that anybody else was. And I didn't realize the diversity of women bloggers and that everybody was passionate about it, but they were coming at it from completely different angles. I mean, there were, you know, and Huffington Post had just launched, and Arianna Huffington was one of the keynote speakers. And I was just, I mean, I spent the whole time with my jaw on the floor. I was so surprised at what an eye-opening experience it was. But they were still a very new organization, and it was still primarily the three founders, without offices, without, you know, they were still bootstrapping. And I emailed them and I said that I would love to be part of the team, and I have experience in marketing and marketing events and company events. And if you needed help with your events, I would love to be part of the team. And so they wrote me back and said, yes, actually, we're looking to staff up for the next year. So I started in November of 2006. And then I planned their conference. Then they launched Blog Her Business that later that year, so in the spring of 2007. And so I planned all the conferences that they did from 2007 through to 2009. And I left just this last, a year ago, to move to Napa and have Eve. But I am still part of their publishing network, so...
Yeah, and you obviously, having held that position, know a lot of women bloggers, don't you?
I do, and I definitely was part of them understanding, you know, the difference between, well, not the difference, but, you know, understanding what it takes to pull off just simply cost wise events like that, and why they charge what they do for sponsorships and for promoting people's works, even if they're outstanding, as I'm sure your comedy CV is.
No. It absolutely is. You know, we were talking about celebrities earlier. My divorce is a celebrity, you know, because of this CD. But the thing about it is, it was impressive to me that apparently most of their clients for this sort of thing are major corporations. So that's phenomenal and very exciting. We love it anytime anyone succeeds at that level, but particularly, like you said, three women who bootstrapped something and invented something and turned it into something big. And since you held that role, you are also a very big part of that success. So congratulations on that.
Well, thank you. It was certainly fun to be part of it. And I'm definitely I still feel very connected to the social media world, and expect to be more actively engaged now that Eve's just a little bit older. I'm diving, I think, right back in. So.
Yeah, you are joining another network, is that right? Another, I mean, I may have the terminology wrong, but you're about to this summer start working with another blogging organization?
Yes. They're really a new media consultancy called the Clever Girls Collective. And I think anybody would want to be associated with a group called Clever Girls. So,
absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But, you know, our list for Women Are Not Funny Radio is the Awesome Pretties. And that's really short. That's really short for the Awesome, 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 Awesome Pretties, four awesomes. And you would think anyone would want to be associated with
The Awesome Pretties as well. I think that's a great badge to have on a blog. I would imagine anybody would want that. So.
Yeah, but apparently you don't because you're not a member so far. And it is by the honor system. You know, you have to admit, essentially, that
right.
you are awesome and you are pretty, and that, you know, we generally take people's word for it, but aren't
right.
you awesome and pretty? I mean,
well, I am. I am, it's true.
That.
And I have looked at that badge many times and thought that would look very pretty. That would look very nice on my blog, so I will have to add that following this.
Yeah, well, I just joined the Awesome Pretties, and yeah, there is a tag that comes with it. But, you know, we are almost at the end of the hour, and I have to talk with you about this thing we have in common. Apparently, you fall down.
I do fall down. Oh, goodness. I fall, and I trip, and I spill, and I stain myself. And I find things, like after the movies, I often find little pieces of things in my bra. And, you know, if someone's going to trail toilet paper from her shoe back from the bathroom, that would be me. So, yes, I am I haven't fallen in a little while, so I'm probably due.
Oh, I think now all of the other things that you mentioned can't really relate to that because, you know, extremely groomed at all times. And
right.
Rather lovely. But the falling down, that's a problem. That's a problem for me. And apparently, you know, given that we're both pale-skinned blondes, the bruising is the problem.
It is a problem. And, you know, pantyhose haven't really been too fashionable in the last few years, which I've just had to ignore because the bruises are telling.
Well, do you know, and part of the reason that we're having this discussion is because, you know, I've had a little bit of talk with the owners of the company, and they would just be so fortunate to be a sponsor of Women Are Not Funny Radio. Did you know there is a product called Bruise Relief?
I did not know that.
There is literally a product called Bruise Relief. And what it's for is to make the bruises go away. Now, isn't that exciting?
That is exciting. And I'm surprised that they don't really, you know, that they're not jumping on board to sponsor my entire life, really.
That's what I thought. When I first heard about them and heard that they were offering free samples, I said, I need a bat. I need to swim in it. I need to swim in it. And but it's actually pretty cool that you can follow them on Twitter at Bruise Relief, and so you know
check them out.
But the better thing to do. I mean, I'm glad there's Bruise Relief. God knows.
Yes.
We need it. But wouldn't it be so much nicer just not to fall down?
It would. It would. Unfortunately, if my first few years on this planet are any indication, there's really no. History has a way of repeating itself, so I suspect, short of some sort of miracle or, you know, I don't know if there's any way to reset one's balance, but I think I'm pretty much doomed.
I don't think you're doomed, and I think whether you're doing stand-up or whether you're falling down, you're terrific, and I want to thank you, Christy Samus, for being my featured guest today on Women Are Not Funny.
Well, thank you.